I bring you greetings from the Beaver County Jail and from the church inside the wall at Beaver County Jail. It's a privilege to be here this morning at Geneva College. And I'm a jailhouse preacher, so I'm going to share with you a jailhouse sermon, if that's all right, because that's what I do. And I want to talk to you this morning about going, growing or blowing. Now, the first time that I went to prison, I ended up on death row. I didn't want to be there. Like everyone else, I felt I was set up. And I was drawn to this certain cell, to a certain inmate, like a magnet just drew me there. And I looked at the inmate right through the glass, and he looked me in the eye and said, "The Lord told me I'd be getting a visit today, and I was to tell him my story." And he began to share his story with me. The problem was that his story sounded a lot like my story. And in the middle of that story, I began to realize that I did the same things that this man did. And in my younger days as a biker, I did more than the same things. I even shot a person, but my victim lived, and his victim died. Now here I was, a reluctant prison minister, and he, a condemned murderer, sharing these stories. And the realization that God's grace had spared me hit me like a blow to the chest. I began to cry. I began to weep. It was at that moment that I knew that I knew that I knew that God had spared me and that I would be going to prison for the rest of my days. That was 16 years ago. I've been going to prison ever since. I've been on death row. I've been in medium security, maximum security. I've been in prisons and all across the Midwest. And 8 years ago, I began the ministry at the Beaver County Jail as a chaplain. I've talked to thousands and thousands of prisoners. And one thing I've realized from that day on death row, that defining moment in my life, that day on death row to now, I've learned what Psalm 1 teaches, that really there's only two ways to life. There's only two ways to live. There's only two roads to take. There's only two paths that you can walk. There's only two realities. You're either growing or you're blowing, I like to say it. You're either growing in God, or like the psalm says, you're blowing in the wind. There's only two ways. And so I'd like to invite you this morning to look with me, if you have a Bible, in Psalm number 1 as we work through it. There's three divisions in this psalm, and I want to talk to you a little bit about each one. I want to talk to you about growing. I want to talk to you about blowing. And then I want to talk to you about going. Who's going? Now, Psalm 1 is the first psalm in the collection of psalms. So it stands as a sentinel before the whole collection of psalms for a reason. Because it's a wisdom psalm. It's a reflective psalm. In other words, we got to think about what this psalm is saying to us. Because it sets the tone and the tenor for the entire collection of psalms. And it's going to teach us a lesson. It's going to teach us a life lesson that we don't want to miss. And the lesson is very important. I call it, are you growing or are you blowing? Are you growing or are you blowing? Let's look at it. In the first three verses, we see the message of growing. And what we have is a description of the blessed person or the righteous person. Now, the thing we have to realize in the Psalms is this. When we talk about the blessed, the righteous and the wicked, or the blessed and the ungodly, an easy way to think of it is this, that the blessed one is the person that lives a God-centered life. But the wicked one or the ungodly one is the person that doesn't really have much time for God in her life. I mean, God never enters their thoughts. The Lord the things of God are foolishness to them. They never think about God. They never think about His revelation. They never think about His salvation. They never think about God at all. It's all about them, and it's all about their world. So that'll help us as we go through this. So now we see in verse 1, he says, blessed is the person, and then he explains. It's a word picture. Let's look at it. Who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of scoffers. Now, he's describing relationships here. And it's interesting that you see a progression. He walks, then he stands, and then he sits. I see that all the time with the people I work with. That's how people happen. I mean, you know, it's like, hey, man, I'm walking with the boys, and then the next thing you know, I'm standing with them, and then finally, I find myself sitting with them. I mean, that's how people get in trouble with the way I work with. In the jail, young men, what are they doing? I'm walking with the homies, man. I'm walking with the boys. I'm going to be like them, man. I like what they got. They got the bling. They got the stuff. I want to be with them. And the next thing you know, they're standing with them on the corner. Hey, look at me. Hey, what's up? And then they're sitting with them. It's a progression that can warn every one of us. Because, see, to walk means that you accept their advice. I'm accepting their advice. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to do it that way. Yeah, I hear you. And then the next thing, standing means you adapt to their culture. Hey, I'm going to dress like that. I'm going to talk like that. I'm going to be like that. I'm going to walk like that. I want to be part of that. And then to sit means it's finally sunk in enough that I adopt their attitudes. Now, John Maxwell, the leadership expert, talks about the law of the inner circle. You know what the law of the inner circle is? You will never rise above your associations. Never. You look around you. You look at the company you keep. You look at the friends. You look at your associations. You'll never rise above them. So if you hang with scoffers, if you associate with sinners, what are you going to be like? I mean, if you run around with losers, what's going to happen? You will never rise higher than the people you hang with. Never. There's a Greek word for that. Imposible. It's impossible. I think the Hebrew word is balone. It's just not about to happen. You can't do it. If you hang with the homies, you're going to be like the homies. You see, if you want to get somewhere, the secret of success is if you want to go somewhere, if you want to be a success, surround yourself with people that have already made it. People that are already successful, that have already done it. And guess what? They'll pull you up higher. They'll help you along. They'll give you a boost up. But if you surround yourself with the sinners and the scoffers and those who have no time for the Lord, then guess what? They're going to pull you down to their level. And so the blessed person, number one, watches their relationships. They watch their relationships. That's not the way they go. And then he talks about, in verse number 2, his primary relationship of the blessed person is this. He delights in the law of the Lord. His relationship is not hanging with the homies. I'm not going on a street corner to get my advice. I'm not going to the television set or the internet. I'm not running around to hear what the world has to say to give me the advice. The blessed one runs to the Word of God. The blessed one runs to the Lord, and his delight is in the law of the Lord, or the law of Christ. And in this law, he meditates day and night. You know what the word meditate means in Hebrew? It has the connotation. Do you ever see a cow in the field? They're chewing on a cud. I mean, that's what they're doing. They're just chewing on it. That's what meditate means. I got the Word of God, and I'm chewing on it. I'm chewing on it day in and day. I'm applying it to my life. I'm thinking about it. I'm talking about it to myself. I'm applying it to. I'm delighting myself in it. I'm finding wisdom for my life in it. I'm meeting God in it. I'm finding out His character. I'm building a relationship with Him through His Word, and I'm getting revelation for my life. I'm learning which way to go and which way not to go. See, my delight is in the law of Christ. My delight is in the law of Lord. That's my primary relationship, not with the homeboys, but with the one who holds everything in the palm of His hand. So now the law of the inner circle applies. Who am I hanging out with? Who's the blessed one hanging out with? The blessed one's hanging out with the Lord Most High. And what are the limitations on where they can go? There are none. There are none, because God's Word is limitless. His wisdom has no end. You see? So there's the difference. And then in verse 3, he shows us the results of this relationship. The results of this relationship with the Lord is this. He paints this beautiful word picture. He's like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields fruit in its season, and its leaf never withers. And everything that they do, they prosper. I remember flying to Albuquerque one time and going out west, you know, and looking out over through the window of the airplane over the desert. And everything is brown as can be, until you see this little, they call it a river. It's a creek. I mean, it's like it's a ditch with a little bit of water in it, you know. But you see this little wee creek, and everything, it's an explosion of green on both sides of it. I mean, there's life everywhere. There's trees, and you could see it from 20,000 feet in the air. It's the only thing you see in a sea of brown. Why? Because there's life there. And that's what he's saying. The person that finds their delight in the Lord, the person that makes the Word of God the basis, the rule, the guide for their life, the person that meditates on this Word, they're going to bear fruit. They're going to be like this stream, these trees that grow by this stream. No matter if it's a desert, no matter if you're going through hard times or good times, no matter what's happening, you're going to produce fruit. That's what he's saying here. That's how the blessed one lives. He's constantly growing in Christ. And so what you have is a deep-rooted life. It's not a surface life. It's a deep-rooted life. The metaphor here of a tree is that the roots go down and down and down because of the water and the nourishment. They're hidden from view. It implies there's more to this person than what you see on the surface. They have depth. They have substance. They're growing. They're rooted and grounded in Christ, and they're drawing deeply on God's grace and God's mercy and God's glory and strength, and they're becoming stalwart. But then he starts talking about those that are blowing. In the next two verses, he gives us a contrast. He paints another picture. And he says in verses 4 and 5, and it's interesting, he says, the wicked or the ungodly are not so. Now, he just took three verses to describe the blessed person, and he sums up the ungodly person in two words. In two words, the ungodly are not so. In other words, whatever the blessed person is, whatever blessed reality they're walking in, the ungodly are not so. They're just not so. Whatever they walk in, the ungodly don't. They're not so. And so the image we get is one of chaff. He says, the wicked are not so. They're like the chaff that the wind drives away. Now, you know what chaff is? Chaff is the dry kernel, the dry husk that surrounds the kernel. And it's worthless. It's paper thin. It sticks to everything, and it blows away. They used to sift the wheat, so they would remove the chaff, and the chaff would blow away. 3,000 years ago, when this was written, chaff was worthless. It was light. It stuck to everything. If you were sweating, it stuck to you. If anyone ever baled hay, they know the feeling. Same with the chaff. It stuck to you, and it blew. And here we are 3,000 years later, and guess what? It's still worthless. It's still lightweight. It's rootless. It's weightless, and it's useless. It's something without substance. And that's the metaphor he's showing us here. He's saying that the person that lives a life without God in the center of it is living a life without substance. Is living a life that has no weight to it. You can't stand on it. There's nothing there. It's completely on the surface, and it's entirely not so. When the sun comes out, when the heat comes out, when the storms of life come, they're going to be uprooted. When the heat of struggles come, they're going to burn up in a drought because there's no substance to them. I see it all the time in my work in the jail. I see it day in and day out. See, I'm into triage ministry. I operate a first aid station about a half a block from the gates of hell. See, my business is trying, helping to put lives back together. Lives that have imbibed on worldly wisdom. Lives that have walked in the way of the scoffer, to try to get them to see that the way of the righteous, that God has a plan for their life and an answer for them. And so we come to the conclusion, and it's almost as if he's apologetic. It's anticlimactic when he comes to the conclusion. He says the wicked or the ungodly will not stand in the judgment, or sinners in the congregation. It's because they have nothing to stand on. There's a day coming when everybody is going to come before the judge. And when they do, he says, the ungodly, the ones that had no time for God, they have nothing to stand on. Their life is weightless, like chaff. And they'll never stand, and they'll never sit in the congregation of the righteous. And then he says that the ungodly, therefore, will perish. In other words, it's the parting of the ways. In verse 6, we see where everyone's going. We've seen who were growing. We've seen who was blowing in the wind. And now we see where everybody's going. In verse 6, and here it is. The ungodly are perishing. But the godly, he says, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Now, that word knows is an interesting word there. It means that the Lord knows in an intimate way the way of the righteous. He saves the way of the righteous. He makes a way for the godly one, the blessed one, where the unrighteous, the wicked, the ungodly, they come to a dead end. It's the road to ruin. Now, how do we apply this? Well, we have to realize that this is progressive. The Bible's progressive revelation, and that we're Christians, and that when we approach the Psalms, we come by the cross to look at the Psalms. So I need to look at this with the cross as my lens, so to speak. And so how do I walk in this Psalm? How do I fulfill this Psalm? Well, the first thing I want to tell you is the call to blessing could only be fulfilled in Christ. There is no way that any of us can keep away from the counsel of the wicked in this world. We're bombarded by media day in and day out. There's no way that we could delight 24/7 in the law of the Lord. But thank God there is the Eternal One, the Eternal Blessed One, who not only did He walk in the counsel of the Lord all of His days. Hallelujah. Not only did he delight in the law of the Lord, but He made a way for each and every one of us. If we'll respond to His call, if we'll hear His voice, and if we'll surrender our lives to Him. Come to the cross, because it's only by His righteousness and it's only by His grace that we can walk in the blessings. Psalm number one. So I want to ask you this morning, are you growing? Are you growing in the things of God? Or is your life blowing in the wind? Where are you at? I can't answer the question for you. All I can ask you is, are you growing? Are you on the right path? What's your reality? Or are you blowing? Father, I thank You this morning for the Word of God. I pray for my friends. Lord, I pray that You would saturate each one of them with Your mercy and Your grace. And Lord, that they would hear Your call and respond to Your call this day. Lord, that they would pick up their individual crosses and follow You and realize that they need to be transplanted into Christ Jesus and therefore produce a productive life in Him. Lord, use them this generation for Your glory. Lord, use them in the boardroom. Use them in the classroom. Use them in the waiting room. Use them in every room, in every walk, in every occupation, Lord, to be a light and a witness to a lost and dying world. Lord, I ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.